Hello, everyone. Welcome to Three Essential Questions, New Mexico's business and nonprofit podcast. I am your host, Pam Myers, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Eric Yoakum. Three Essential Questions is produced by Two Flower Productions. We bring you the stories, up-to-date information on what's happening with business owners and nonprofits in New Mexico. And our guest today is Juan Torres. Juan is with the Santa Fe County Economic Development Department. And for those of you that may not be familiar with what an Economic Development Department does, they create jobs, they invest in the community, they support businesses and infrastructure, try and encourage new company growth. Everything is to benefit the economy and the community. And Juan shared with me before, and we're going to talk about this, but they recently funded a workforce training initiative, right, with film production, which is, we know, big in New Mexico. And they just launched a business retention expansion website called EncantadaNetwork.com. And they've just finished a whole round of micro grants. So that's exciting stuff, Juan. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure.
So to elaborate a little bit more on all the work that, I mean, that's a lot of stuff that you've been doing.
Yeah, I want to hear about the micro loans, because that's like, that to me is a fascinating study in the, you know, the things that they've done with what $250 or, you know, $500, $1,000 can mean a huge difference to somebody.
Right.
And so I'm really curious about that whole practice.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of that was kind of forged from my time at the State Economic Development Department as a finance development director, when we created different programs to help in the financing and funding realm for businesses. And one of the things that we constantly heard was, at that level, that, you know, there was not like small amounts of money to kind of get companies over a certain hurdle or over a certain threshold.
Right.
A lot of times the state focus is on the Local Economic Development Act, which is the mechanism through which the state of New Mexico uses public financing for public and private entities. It's a methodology because we have this this constitution that specifically prohibits the use of public dollars for private entities unless you can demonstrate a public benefit. And so the LEADA program initiates that through a formalized contractual agreement, and that's usually for very high dollar amounts, you know, $100,000 and things like that, usually associated with 20, 50, 100 employees being hired,
right,
et cetera. Most recently, I think the Economic Development Department announced a project in the south of New Mexico that is providing $5 million of state funding for an EV manufacturing company that's moving into the Santa Teresa area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. An example at the state level of that. So to kind of take that big picture and then just kind of drill down at the local level. And so we created this business retention and expansion program as part of some funding that we had from the American Reinvestment Recovery and Reinvestment Act, ARPA, traditionally known. So we had some ARPA funds left over last year, and that we were trying to figure out how we could best utilize those. And so we determined through a partnership with the Regional Development Corporation, which is a Northern New Mexico nonprofit that is situated to assist the about 8 counties in Northern New Mexico. It's associated with Los Alamos National Laboratory.
Mm.
So they've been in business for, I think, over 30 years. And so they have been running their own micro grant program that was funded through Triad, which is the Los Alamos laboratory.
Mm.
And they had approached us about participating in their program. And when that happened, we started thinking, well, let's think a little broader than that. Let's get more creative. And so what ended up happening was that we created a website we expanded their microgrant program, and we are setting up a couple of different resources for small businesses, including AI resources that we're working on. So the microgrant program is being managed through the Regional Development Corporation. They do the outreach. They will assess the companies, and they give us a report on the different companies and where they are in targeted industries, the size. And the vast majority of the companies we're looking at, less than 20 people. In fact, a lot of them are 1, 2, and 3 person businesses. But in Santa Fe County, we're trying to grow businesses up as opposed to bringing them in from outside.
Right.
I think it's generally kind of in the industry known a kind of rainforest approach, uh-huh. where, you know, you have the canopy and the infrastructure, and you just try to kind of, you know, plant the seeds, if you will. So we're in the early stages of that sort of a program. That's what the microgrant program is really about. We gave out 20 grants that ranged from $1,500 to $3,000. And for a variety of different activities that were going to impact that company, whether it was enough money to bring somebody on a part-time basis, or to buy a piece of equipment, or to expand their inventory, those activities were deemed to be let's take a chance on these, and the RDC, the Regional Development Corporation, will be continuing following up over the next 2 years. So we'll be getting reports back on these companies. How are they doing? How did they do with the money? Where are they now? And we're hoping to kind of have a really broad 360-degree view of each cohort. So that was one cohort of companies. We are just, this is a great time to say, we're just about to open the second round of that funding, and it should be available probably in February or early March. And so there'll be another opportunity for another group of companies to demonstrate what is it that they need, and we'll evaluate those needs. And then we'll be making a determination for funding. So it's very exciting to see that. I think it was, in this round, I think it was over $50,000 that we were able to disperse. And like I said, it's not just a one and done. We're going to continue to follow up with them. We're going to talk with them in the future. And we'll be able to report what happened. And hopefully in this two-year period, we started last year, so this is the second year. 2026 will be the second year. Hopefully we'll get enough information that we can go back to the county commission and say, hey,
right.
We think this really worked. We really want some more support. Let's do it again. Let's expand it. Of course, that's up to the county commission, but I think they're very supportive of the small businesses, especially when you look at Santa Fe, people think about the city, which is the big enchilada, if you will, in the region, but the county, you know, we have our own gems. We have Madrid as a good community, Edgewood. There's a number of different great communities, and they don't have the resources and infrastructure. So we're focused on there. And coincidentally, or not coincidentally, because we actually are working formally with the city, they're launching their own microgrant program focusing on cities within or companies within the city limits. So whether you're in the county or the city, you will have access to these microgrant programs, whether you come through us if you're in the county or you go to the city for their resources.
Wow, that's great. That's great news for so is there, are there specific qualifications for a business? Like are certain industries that you're focusing on, or is it pretty much anybody with a business plan?
Well, so I mean, we're open to anybody, but we really do want to target our target industries. And so that's outdoor recreation, film and media production, food and food resources. You know, when people say food and food resources, what do you mean by that? I mean, we have a lot of farmers in Santa Fe County, and we have an incredible county website called Aggregate, not spelled the way you would think, aggregate.org. And that website will take you to any farm in the region, We have the names, the address, there's a map on there. They'll tell you about what kinds of things they grow and what their hours for public viewing are. And so we're trying to encourage people to go out to those farms, but more importantly, to strengthen the food distribution and networks and the needs there. So as I mentioned, we focus on our target industries, but we also, from the county standpoint, we're also open to nonprofit organizations that are supporting activities that we want to promote. So you talk about housing, you talk about poverty alleviation, you talk about childcare. Those nonprofits that are supporting activities, we'll look at those for the micro grants as well.
And what's the average grant amount?
The average is about, well, between $1,500 and $3,000. We've given it roughly, the median is probably $2,000. And it's kind of funny because we started this out and I said, when you say you're going to give somebody up to $3,000, everybody's going to ask for $3,000. Well, lo and behold, that's not the case. People will say, look, I just need this printer. It's going to cost me $972.
Right.
And that's what they apply for. And so, I say, wow, that's pretty neat. People are not right. Just asking for the maximum amount. They're specific to what their needs are.
Interesting.
That's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That is very cool. Talk a little bit about the initiative for the backlot of film production.
Oh, that's really exciting. So Jennifer Labar-Tapia reached out to me about a year ago. It was actually around November of last year, September, November. And she was telling me about this idea to create a backlot at the Santa Fe Community College. And for people who don't know, a backlot is a full cityscape, essentially. So you look at the movies, or not the movies, mostly the TV shows from the 1970s. We had those detective dramas and they went down the street and they went this way. So those were all fake streets. They were created right. In a back lot. And so the idea is that Santa Fe Community College has about 50 acres of land by their trades building. And they're dedicating that land to building out this back lot. And so Jennifer was saying, we really want to get this thing going. And I said, well, give me the details. So she gave me the details. It's a partnership with the Stagecoach Foundation, which is George R.R. Martin's organization. It's a nonprofit organization that's focused on Native filmmaking. And also the IATSE Film Union is a partner in that as well. And Santa Fe Community College, obviously. And so when we discussed the details and the specifics, and I said, well, what do you need to get rolling here? And she said, well, we need about $1 million for phase one. And so, we spent a few weeks going over the numbers and the details. And then I came back to our county management and I proposed this project. I said, look, here's a great project. It's going to be in three phases. And if we can do phase one from our end, we see a very good possibility of getting quickly through the two phases. I think the total cost is something like $6 million. And so I made a proposal to the county commissioner and the county managers, and they approved it. So we invested, Santa Fe County invested $1 million.
Wow.
In phase one of that project. And about 4 months ago, we had a groundbreaking on it. And, they've completed the entire phase one component. So now we're out there trying to shake the bushes and find the other aspects of this thing. We have some very good conversations with the legislative leaders and the governor's office as well. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we might have this thing completed in what would be an amazing amount of time, a 2 to 3 year period. It's a record time for infrastructure development.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like lightning speed for infrastructure stuff.
It is. And part of what made it so appealing and easy to do was that the Santa Fe Community College, they created an entity that was through the legislature allowed community colleges to create separate entities that you could enter into agreements with. It's a technical reason, it's a technical thing, but it allows us to facilitate a very streamlined procurement process. And that was initiated last year to allow Doñana County to create the film studio that they're creating now. So they created a standalone entity within the college, and that entity will be the fiscal agent and operating between the rest of the thing. So it makes the procurement very straightforward.
Yeah, it sounds like a loophole. It sounds like a loophole. If it doesn't take 10 years to get something done, then that's a good thing. Yeah.
Right? I think so.
Yeah. Wow. that sounds pretty wonderful. Because, the film industry has grown exponentially here in the last number of years. It's really
Tamalewood, baby.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? I actually started my life as a filmmaker. I got a degree in filmmaking from the University of Illinois at Chicago before I got into public service. And so I still, have that affinity. When we moved here, my wife and I moved here in the early 2000. It was just when the film initiative was getting off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at that time, I'd already been in the industry for a few years. And I said to my wife, they're crazy. They're not going to be able to do this. I saw the infrastructure in Chicago firsthand. It was a tough thing to do, but I have to admit that the Richardson administration really did an amazing job of standing up an entire industry in less than a decade, I think, and now it's a really thriving, and it's all connected. I mean, so we have our airport here, and now we have direct flights to Los Angeles. We have people commuting essentially back and forth. I know that in the last couple of years, the film industry's kind of gotten battered for a number of different reasons. But there's every indication that is, that our infrastructure and where we're positioned is still a very good position to be in. So I think eventually we're going to have a recovery in the national level. We haven't had too much of a depression here in the state on the film industry. Because we continue to invest in things like Netflix and NBC right. Universal. And, quite frankly, if they could ever figure out that whole Netflix Warner Brothers thing.
Do I sign up for HBO Max or what? Do I not? What the hell? I'm over here stuck. But if
Netflix comes out, with that expansion, with that purchase, essentially, we expect that there's going to be a lot more activities here based on Netflix's infrastructure footprint in Albuquerque in New Mexico.
Yeah, being down here in Valencia County, we're seeing a lot of the same kind of stuff with the airport and all the craziness, and it's growing like crazy. It's pretty exciting. It's kind of feels like being in on the ground floor of
of
something bigger.
Well, that's the thing about New Mexico. I mean, we have the opportunity to really kind of lay out a lot of infrastructure. We don't have a lot of infrastructure, so we have to start from scratch. And, a couple of years ago, you may be aware that we were having conversations with the Sundance Film Festival people. And that conversation lasted about 2 years behind the scenes. We were very excited to be finalists. But more importantly, we learned a lot about where we can improve our infrastructure. And so we didn't just walk away from that and say, okay, well, we missed that, tough toenails. No, we said, where did we go wrong? What did we not have? And let's build on those things. So that's what we're actively trying to build on, the lessons learned from that interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wise words. The takeaway, instead of being feeling defeated, like what are your takeaways? What are the lessons learned? Right? Mm-hmm. How can you make improvements? What's the biggest industry that you have in Santa Fe County?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, it's government healthcare, and I say unfortunately because mm-hmm. It's kind of a it is what it is. I mean, you know, it provides a lot of people with a good entrance into the middle class, but it does not kind of wave out like private industry does. It doesn't provide that extension. But yeah, the number one industry in northern New Mexico, Santa Fe County, is government. That's federal, that's state, that's local government, that's healthcare, primarily St. Vincent's Hospital, as well as Presbyterian. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we kind of scale down. There's an interesting cluster of financial services companies up here. Oh. And quite an interesting small group of biotech companies that are in the area.
Yeah.
So quite a mix.
That is quite the mix.
Yeah. Well, what's your biggest challenge, Juan?
Well, I guess the biggest challenge, to be perfectly honest, right now is housing. And I think this challenge for everybody is housing, and the cost of living here is very high. So, yeah. I mean, we have the highest the cost of homes in the United States. $800,000 is the median price here. The national average is $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's quite a challenge when you have people coming. It used to be that you'd say, oh, I want to go to that community or that state. I'll figure it out when I get there. And when you get here, boy, that's a pretty hefty thing to figure out.
Right.
So housing costs are very expensive. The cost of living is expensive. And then, quite frankly, the retention of young people, attraction and retention of young people is very complicated here. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, those kinds of issues are addressed through having a university at a local level. And so we have a university in Albuquerque, we have a university in Las Cruces, and both those communities get, you know, surprise, surprise, have a large population of young people.
Right.
That go there.
Right.
A percentage of them stay when they finish and graduate. So we're aware of that, and we're trying to figure out ways, and we have been trying to figure out ways in partnership with the city of Santa Fe, because they are the primary driver for people that want to come here. You know, and that's a fact, and we don't pretend otherwise. So we work very closely with the city to try to tackle our problems together. And, you know, some people will move into the city and some people will move into the county, and that's appropriate, and it works out for everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Wow. Yeah. Because the average medical professional cannot afford an $800,000 house. Last I checked.
I mean, we have a hard time getting nurses and traveling nurses.
Yep.
The traveling nurses need the infrastructure to have short-term housing, mm-hmm. or medium-term housing, I suppose, is the way to term it. So, and that's a group of people that have average salaries of $90,000, $100,000 per, but we don't have the infrastructure to support it. So we are working on that. We have three brand new developments that are coming online in the next several years. We have a development in Santa Fe that we're going to be breaking ground on Friday, called the Turquoise Trail development. Mm-hmm. And in combination of all those, we're looking at something like 3,000 units coming online.
Wow.
In 3 to 4 years. So
that's great.
You know, we're trying our best. It's a combination of factors that affect that. Some of it are zoning and some of it are government.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are just infrastructure, and you know, how do we extend infrastructure? I mean, it's quite a challenge, because the county's, you know, pulling out and developing infrastructure, but you can't build it out and then wait 5 years for a development, because there's a lot of funding that goes into that.
Right.
So you have to balance it out, and I think our county
government. We saw that with the 2008 bust. Like when we moved here, there were whole tracts of partially built places, or places that were built and left empty. And now they're, you know, once Facebook got here, you can't buy a house in Los Lunas. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, and I mean, I had the pleasure of working on that project when I was at the state. And the funny thing about that project at the time was that the Facebook company. That time they were called Facebook before they changed their name to Meta. And they were awarded $10 million worth of LIDA funding, you know, and people were like, why do they need $10 million worth of LIDA funding? Well, turns out that we needed to build some infrastructure to support that activity. Mm-hmm. And at the time that we were talking with them, everybody was really looking backwards. And so they were saying, oh, we need $10 million to buy water rights. And so I talked to a lot of people. They go, that's not how it works. But some very smart people at the state environment department that I reached out to, they said, hey, instead of buying water rights and enriching a lot of lawyers, why don't you take the $10 million and build a water treatment facility that could serve both the county, the community, and the company? And that's what we did. And that was the first of its kind, I think, that where we used public LEDA funds for public infrastructure. And it worked out. It was a win-win for everybody. I mean, I remember when I first went to Las Lunas and before Facebook, and then years later after the water treatment was built, and how much it had changed. It was a dramatic, dramatic difference. So that became a pretty good model to look at for the future of saying, how can we be smarter about using public dollars to mm-hmm. support private businesses in the long run to develop the community?
Right.
That's the key. Yeah. Making sure that it's, like you said, it's not about making the company a bunch of money and leaving the people who live here stuck, you know, with, yeah, it's been big changes. I've been here for 15 years. It's big changes down here.
Yeah, no, we used to be focused on attracting call centers. And that was a very, very kind of low denominator, you know, individuals who were making minimum wage. There were large numbers, 500 people, but they would be here for a few years and they'd pack up and they'd leave,
right.
You know. And I think we learned a lesson as a state about not incentivizing those sorts of activities and really focusing on higher quality incentives for how we can help a business either move here or grow here. And to be perfectly honest, in Santa Fe County, we're not really looking for all takers. We really
right.
are very selective. You have to be willing to partner with the community. And we all have to be aligned in our values.
Exactly.
To a certain extent, that we agree on certain aspects in order for developments to go forward.
Right. Yep. Right. Right. Yeah. Right. It's strategy on not just, right, you don't welcome everyone into your family. You have to be very strategic into what you're doing yep. in order to make it healthy. Right.
Yeah. Because a lot of times we have to make changes to infrastructure to support that. Mm-hmm. When you do those kinds of changes and then they pick up and leave, then what do you do then? You're left,
yeah.
you know, with a right. big empty parking lot or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I think we've learned a bit of lessons there.
Yeah. How are equity and inclusion built into your strategy, Juan? Are they?
Yeah, they are, because we are, you know, we've learned a lot in the last 5 years, I think, in general terms. You know, how we need to be more inclusive of bringing in the community and getting their input into the things that we're proposing. And that often means not the usual suspects, not the usual people that are always involved, kind of breaking out of that and looking at the bigger picture. We have, you know, a large population of individuals that have, you know, specific needs. You know, we have a homeless population, we have a kind of working poor population. And so mm-hmm. in a lot of the things that we do when we're out there doing communications and we're trying to develop projects, we're trying to see if we're talking to the right people and that they're included. When you look at the film Backlot, for instance, one interesting aspect of that population of people that are working in the film industry, they're also working in a lot of other ancillary industries like outdoor recreation, right? So the same people that might be working on a film production one day might be working at the ski area during the winter, and they might be working in the rafting in the spring, and they might be working as a catering assistant and the waiters in between. Well, a lot of times within that population, and I don't know exactly what you would call that, it's not quite transient, but it's a kind of a loose population of people that have very specific needs. and they'll go from one place to another. One thing that we've learned, I think, and I don't know that we have an answer for this, but we can start to look at the data points and say, you know, this population also has very specific needs on housing, right? They're not the kind of people that could necessarily put down 2 months down payment on mm-hmm. rent and have a 1 year lease. So that was one of the conversations I was having with some people from the Lincoln Institute, which is a land policy group out in California. You know, there needs to be a different model for landlords to consider how they offer, you know, housing to specifically address this population, mm-hmm. because it's a different model. And again, we don't have the answer to it, but we start to see what the problem is. Mm-hmm. And that same population also has, you know, levels of, you know, substance abuse and other things. Mm-hmm. So how do you provide wraparound services for people that fall off the margins? I mean, we have a very good program here in Santa Fe County called Santa Fe Connect. And it's a kind of navigator system for connecting people to services, emergency housing services, mental health services, childcare, et cetera. But it's really focused on a population that's, you know, daily need. But we need to have better wraparound services for all the different populations that we work. So, yes, we try to reach out and try to get the input from the diverse group of people that make up Santa Fe County, including undocumented immigrants.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the program and talking about all that you're doing for Santa Fe County, Juan. It sounds very exciting.
It is exciting. I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to this year. I feel really busy, and that's good. And I mean, we're going to get another person on board. She's going to be coming on in a few weeks. So I am very excited, and I'd love to follow up in 6 months or a year and let you guys know where we are, how far we've come. I would encourage people to visit EncantadoNetwork.com. It's an innovative website. It's got AI features. We've got tools on there for people to try out a business model, right? So there's a little tool where you can experiment with, I'd like to start a coffee shop. And then they have little sliders and little places where you can put numbers. And you go, how much is the rent? How much would you sell things to? What's the average ticket?
Wow.
So you can start to see that, oh my God, I'm not going to make any money at this thing. I have to get a rent.
I have to do it. But you got to charge $8 a cup of coffee.
Right. So you start to learn the real world aspects of a business. That tool is on there. We call it a gamification of business, so people can kind of play around with the idea of starting different businesses. But we also have a affordability tool for housing. So I don't think we've finished that tool, but we're working on it. But it'll come on very soon. It'll be on that website. And you'll be able to tap in there and say, I make $1,000 a month, and I have $2,500 saved up. And it tells you how much house you could afford, how much, you know, you have to pay. And then you can use the sliders to realize, oh, I better spend another year saving up money for a down payment or whatever. So we're creating those kinds of tools, as well as AI chatbots that will help. We've been training them for 6 months, so hopefully they're not hallucinating. they will
turning racist or doing any of that fun stuff that the other things are doing.
Yeah, so it should be a fun site, and we encourage people to go out there and take a look at it.
Very cool.
Yeah. Is there anything that we didn't ask that you'd like to make a mention of before?
Well, we're focusing, outside of everything I've just said, we're also focusing on attracting new events to Northern New Mexico and Santa Fe County. And so we hope to have some information in the next few months about some potentially a new bike race, a 3-day bike race that might be happening in the fall. We are talking with some entities in Texas about a Santa Fe invitational art exhibit that will go on for multiple days. So we are really trying to step up outside events coming here, as well as kind of showing up the infrastructure for the local community.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. Well, thank you again. All this information is really wonderful, and I hope it benefits your department as well as a whole community of people. So thank you for sharing everything that you're doing.
Thank you both for having me. I appreciate it. And if you have any questions or anybody else has any questions, I'm always available. You can drop me an email, find me on the Encantado Network, stop me on the street. You know, it's all great. So thank you very much for having me.
All right. Thank you so much, Juan. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you to AutoVita for being the sponsor of this program. And we really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.